today is entitled, Jesus Wanted to Help Me, But I Didn't Let Him. This is the heart cry in the sob story of regret for many Christians. They face their problems alone. They don't take Jesus into their confidence. They don't want to let him in on the inside of their problem. Jesus wanted to help me, but I didn't let him. It's going to be the heart cry of tens of thousands of Christians here in this end time generation, and it even is now. They won't take Jesus into their confidence. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because they know the Lord's not pleased with their ways, and he's going to rebuke them and tell them they're going to have to change some things, and they don't want to change. And it's pathetic and it's tragic. I want to begin in Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 23, the words of Jesus Christ. Then said one unto him, Christ, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, I tell you, there's a revelation right there for the church. A fellow, one of the company in the congregation of Christ here, as he was, verse 22, he went through cities and villages teaching as he was going toward Jerusalem. And one of the congregations asked him, are there only a few that's going to be saved? And he said, hey, here's the straight of it. I want to set you straight here now on this business of going to heaven. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. There's a lot of difference in striving and seeking, even though seeking is almost a desperate act on the part of a person wanting to go to heaven. But striving is even more determined. It's a more determined effort than seeking. And the Lord said, seeking's not good enough to get in. You got to strive. For many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And when once the master of the house has risen up and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then they reply, you'll begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Jesus said, I wanted to help you, but you wouldn't let me. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you'll see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. It's amazing how Jesus Christ so many times got on the subject of people who started out with God first, wound up being last. And those that came in last, the maimed, the poor, the blind, and the halt, got at the front of the line. And the others were the tail instead of the head. I don't want to be the tail. We hear a lot of talk today about the tail wagging the dog and such stuff as that. That's some kind of political jargon or some kind of psychological jargon. Tail wagging the dog. That means somebody that's not important is shaking up the society that are filled with important people, or people that are in authority and able to do something about things. But we got people out here that can't do anything. All they can do is yell and scream out here shaking the dog. The tail is wagging the dog. Well, that's happening in society, but it's not going to happen with God. It's not going to happen with God. We got to get to the head of the line to get the reward that the Bible promises to those that love God and will serve him with all their heart. Now he says here, many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able, in verse 24. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And the reason for that is that Jesus wanted to help his people, his disciples, with their problems, but they wouldn't let him. He wanted to come in and take command, a commanding position in their lives. He wanted to rule from the throne room of their hearts, but they wouldn't permit him to, because the lordship of Jesus Christ means he's going to tell you what to do and manage your life, even in the trifles, in the details, not just the major things, but the very intimate details that some people not even recognize are in your life experience or in your lifestyle. God is going to be author and finisher of your faith, or he's not going to have anything to do with it. He's going to be Lord and Master, or he's not going to be anything. That's the head. And we've got to be up there with a head who is Christ, or we're going to fail, and we're going to stand there, as it says here in verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see the results of what happened, because in this life, Jesus wanted to help you, but you wouldn't let him help you. Well, he's sorrowful many times in his ministry of 3.5 years. It was filled with heartache and heartbreak because of the response of the people. And it's expressed so wonderfully by John in John, the first chapter, verse 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That broke his heart. Another occasion in John 5:40, he cried out to the multitude of the church people that were thronging him. Most of them were his enemies. Most of them did not want to accept his teachings that he came, and he kept telling them over and over again, I don't speak my own words, but I speak the words of my Father who has sent me. For he hath commanded me what I should say and what I should speak. But they couldn't understand that his Father was the same God they claimed to worship, who was the God of Abraham. And he cried out in John 5:40. He said, but you will not come unto me that you might have life. What kind of life was he talking about? The same life he's talking about in John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and steal and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and have life more abundantly than you've ever known it. Abundant life. And that's the kind of a life Jesus wants us to have. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that some people don't believe that? You can't find one out of a blue million that believes that. Oh, Lord gives you a hard time. He's a hard taskmaster. You have to do things you don't want to do. Yeah, the old stinking devil in the flesh don't like him. But the thing about it is, Jesus chooses the manner of life for us that leads us into rest. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. You won't have to go around and being weary and worn and torn from the stress and strain that you're having to endure with your pursuit of just sustaining life on this planet. The Lord says, I want to take the wear and the tear out of it, that it doesn't wear you down, that it doesn't destroy your health, that it doesn't dissipate your enemies, so that your energy, so that you're just feebly wishing that you had the strength and the powers that someone else commands or has the ability to use in their exploits, in their success, in their ventures of life that are notably and demonstrably successful. Well, those things, we can't sit around and weakly wish we had somebody else's power. Find out how they got that strength, how they assumed that power, and pay the price, and you can have equal ability and power. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus Christ will do the same for one that he did for the other one if we'll pay the price and come to him and let us get the rest that he offers us. However, there's something besides just saying, come here, I want to give you rest. The rest is in taking the yoke upon you. Getting that yoke. And it don't mean it's a yoke of one. A yoke is a yoke of two. You don't never put a yoke on one thing. You put a yoke on two things. So they can pull together. That's what Jesus said. Hey, you walk alone, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be a failure. You're going to have all kinds of disasters and heartaches and heartbreaks that I want to save you from. Now, I want to give you rest if you'll come to me. I'll give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, there's a yoke here, and I'll get on one side, you get on the other, and we'll walk together and pull the load together. But he says sorrowfully, you will not come to me that you might have that abundant life. In Acts 10:38,